You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm disappointed by the government these days. Sometimes they just need a good kick in the backside.
The Wire.
Last Wednesday, National ruled out working with Te Pāti Māori in any kind of coalition agreement. National leader Christopher Luxon cited broad ideological differences, but some have raised concerns about his tweet where he implied Māori get more than one vote under MMP. The final line of this tweet was, "We believe New Zealand is one country with one standard of citizenship, meaning one person, one vote. In actual fact, Māori do not get more votes than anyone else, but I wanted to understand why this myth exists, where it came from, and the impacts it has on Māori. I spoke to Māori Studies Professor in Te Rūnanga a Iwi o Ngāti Kahu Chair, Margaret Musu." Luxon said in a statement that Māori have a different standard of citizenship too and get more votes than Pākehā. This is obviously untrue, but where do you think this myth comes from?
So this comes back from when Pākehā, when the British first arrived in this country as colonisers. And they were colonising this country under the doctrine of discovery, what is known today as the doctrine of discovery, where the doctrine of discovery originates from laws issued by the Vatican and then picked up by states, sovereigns throughout Europe, that those who are white and Christian have a right to go into the countries of non-white, non-Christians, take over all of their lands and all of their resources to eliminate or enslave all the peoples and to generally just take over a country. Now, that Britain did that here in this country. It became outlawed by the United Nations in the 1970s, so it carried on that doctrine of discovery, which is what underpins white supremacy. It stayed on in this country right up until the 1970s when the United Nations outlawed it as a result of the atrocities committed in the Second World War by the Nazis. So even though it has been outlawed in this country and racism has been deemed to be illegal in this country, in fact, it still makes up and a very important part of this country. It underpins all the legislation, all the administration of this country. Now, Māori, of course, have never accepted that because Te Tiriti or Waitangi banned that, and it was an agreement with the British that they would not conduct themselves like that in this country. Te Tiriti or Waitangi allowed British immigration into this country on the condition that those British immigrants abided by the law, and the law ensured that Māori remained the authority in this country because this is our country. Now, the British, of course, never adhered to Te Tiriti or Waitangi, but Māori have always been really, really clear that the only authority by which they are in this country is Te Tiriti or Waitangi, and they cannot evade that. Now, it's taken us a very long time, nearly 200 years, to have that put into their legislation and that they must abide by it, but there are still Pākehā in this country who do not want to give up the doctrine of discovery, do not want to give up white supremacy. So they will do anything they can to ensure that Māori have no say in the country, and if they do have some form of representation, that it is only in terms dictated by Pākehā. What you've been hearing from Māori, particularly over the last two decades, is that they are going to make sure that they do, one, stop Pākehās dictating every aspect of our lives, because that is what the doctrine of discovery allowed, because it has severely disadvantaged Māori and allowed all sorts of atrocities to be committed against us simply because the law allows it, and laws are written to allow that sort of thing. But the other thing is that our people are very, very clear that Te Tiriti promised us that we could exercise our mana motuhake. In the Te Tiriti, it's called Te Tino Rangatiratanga. And they are doing it, whether the Pākehā likes it or not. And some Pākehā, like the current National Party, do not like that, and they are determined to oppose it. And so they will make up whatever they think will convince people in this country that Māori are somehow privileged or somehow have more rights than anyone else, when in fact Māori remain one of the most oppressed communities in the world. And to this day, we are the most oppressed and have the worst statistics of any community in this country. Those people do not want that to be known, and they want instead to victimise and to retaliate against any form of resistance to white supremacy and Māori wishing to have our rights understood and upheld. They are very, very scared of that. And so that's why they will say whatever it is they like. And I sometimes wonder what the next lie is going to be. But this is the current one.
And what do you think are the implications of political leaders spreading this kind of misinformation?
What they're trying to do is to reach those who still want white supremacy to remain in this country. It's very, very dangerous, because what they are asking for is that the atrocities committed against Māori, that they continue, and that attacks on Māori go unchallenged. And I have been very disappointed that the current government appears to have lost its courage in defending Māori, even though you've got a large number of ministers in this current government who are Māori. They have been cowed into silence in terms of what is happening to Māori. I do have quite a bit to do with those Māori ministers as a member of National Iwi Chairs Forum. And we have tried to urge our Māori ministers not to lose courage when we have these attacks from right-wing political leaders, essentially picking up that anti-Māori, very, very racist attitude towards things Māori. But unfortunately, you have a government where that thread of white supremacy is there within the current government and is at the moment oppressing our Māori ministers. So that sort of comment coming out from any political leader is extremely dangerous and signals that things are not safe for Māori in this country. Māori must protect themselves from this sort of thing. And that is what you see the Māori Party doing. And you can see how the right wing reacts to that sort of thing, how National, how ACT react. To us being who we are, it is very, very threatening for those wanting to preserve white supremacy.
I saw your article on co-governance. Do you think there's a link between the discussions on co-governance and the fear and pushback from National?
Yes, definitely. Because what they're trying to say there is that Māori have no say in the running of the country. They can only have a say if that is what Pākehā decide they can have a say. So you're only allowed to have, for example, 7 seats held by Māori to represent Māori, even though by population we are entitled to 20 seats. You only allow them if Pākehā say you can. There is a law in this country that if 50% of Parliament decide that those seats are to be abolished, then they will be abolished, while all the other seats, all the general seats in this country, are what we call entrenched, and it takes 75% of the Parliament to disestablish one of those. It only takes 50% to disestablish a Māori seat. So, yes, they are... co-governance was just that the whole argument over co-governance was just another attempt to ensure that the doctrine of discovery maintains its hold in this country, that white supremacy maintains its hold in this country.
That was Margaret Mutu on National's false statement that Māori get more votes than Pākehā.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.